Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Advanced Enzyme Technologies Limited Q1 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ronak Saraf. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Tanvi. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Advanced Enzymes first quarter 2023 earnings conference call. I am Ronak Saraf, the Manager, Investor Relations here at Advanced Enzymes. We hope you all have gone through our financials, press release, and the presentation which has been posted in the investor relations section of our website. We have with us Mr. Vasant Rathi, Chairman, Mr. Mukund Kabra, Whole-time Director, and Mr. Beni Prasad Rauka, Chief Financial Officer. Today, the management will discuss the performance and business highlights, update on strategies, and respond to any questions that you may have. As is usual, for ease of discussion, we will look at the consolidated financials. Before we proceed, I would request you all to please read the forward-looking statement contained in the presentation. During our call, we may make forward-looking statements regarding our expectations or predictions about the future. Because these statements are based on current assumptions and factors that involve risk and uncertainty, our actual performance and results may differ materially from our forward-looking statements. Without any further ado, we shall commence this call. Over to you, Mr. Rathi.
Sir, thank you, Ronak. Good evening, everyone. I really appreciate you all for taking out your valuable time and welcome you all to the conference call for the quarter ended 30th June 2022. Please continue to follow necessary precautions and stay safe and healthy, although it appears that COVID-19 we have left far behind. I know this is not COVID-19 is not over, you know that also. Hopefully, there will be less or no interference of this deadly disease which is affecting everybody globally. I will try to keep my remarks short so that you all will get some time to ask Q&A. To begin with, you all know, going through the numbers, that it is a very rough start, tough start for 2022-23. With ongoing disruptions in the business environment due to COVID-19 and geopolitical scenarios. As you know it all, the inflation is hitting sky-high all over the globe. Europe has never seen this kind of inflation lot in last 40 years. Same is with the U.S. The raw material prices and logistic cost remains largely elevated, and supply chain issues, which were ongoing from last couple of quarters, still hit hard. We firmly believe that most of the hurdles are transitory in nature and rather than structural. Hopefully, the situation may start easing out from quarter two or mostly from quarter three. Moving on to the results update. On revenue decline, we have a revenue decline by almost 12% on year-on-year basis to 1,211 million rupees in quarter one FY23, as against the 1,370 million rupees in quarter one FY22. Our EBITDA declined by 51% on year-on-year basis to 309 million, while PAT declined by 56% on year-on-year basis to rupees 176 million during this quarter. During quarter one, our EBITDA margin stood at 26%, while PAT margin stood at 15% during the quarter. As I previously mentioned, the impact in the margin is because of the inflated input cost, increased cost in salaries and other areas. We have tried to optimize and manage to insulate the margins to the extent possible. Talking about the division-wise performances, the human nutrition segment contributed 67% of the revenue, it registering a decline of 10% to 807 million rupees in quarter 1 of FY23. The animal nutrition segment contributed 13% to the revenue of quarter 1. It has shown an improvement and delivered a growth of about 11% to 156 million in quarter 1 FY23. The bioprocessing segment contributed 15% to the revenue. It underperformed by almost 10% during this quarter, accounting rupees 183 million in quarter 1. In this segment, food business degrew by 14% to rupees 147 million on year-on-year basis, and the non-food business grew by 13% to stood at 37 million during this quarter. The specialized manufacturing segment contributed 5% in the revenue at rupees 65 million during the quarter, a decline of 52% on year-on-year basis. With this, I will now hand over the call to Rauka ji. He will walk you through the financials and key subsidiary numbers.
Thank you very much, sir. Good evening, everyone. I hope you all are in good health. Let me walk you through the company's financials for the first quarter of FY23. Vixar has already briefed you all about the year-on-year performance. I would further extend it and give a brief on Q-on-Q performance. The revenue is decreased by 106 million from 1317 million to 1211 million. The EBITDA is decreased by 94 million from 403 million to 309 million. Profit before tax is decreased by 103 million from 340 million to 237 million. PAT is decreased by 77 million from 253 million to 176 million. The EBITDA is decreased mainly on account of, you know, as Vixar has already mentioned, the input cost has gone up, and therefore, you know, there are some expenses which continue to be, like, you know, higher in terms of power and fuel cost has gone up, and that has resulted into lower gross contribution. And in addition to this, there was impact of, you know, sales mix of the products. So that has, like, you know, created a negative impact of about 62 million or so. And increase in the payroll cost as compared to the last quarter because of the annual increments which are given in the month of April. And in addition to that, some other expenses which is also gone up by some amount of about 11 million. That is because of some mark-to-market losses and also some incremental cost on account of consulting. So all this put together has, you know, there's an increase of about 94 million in other expenses. Therefore, the EBITDA, which was 31% in quarter 4 of last year, it has come down to 26% in this quarter. Now, I would like to talk about the financial numbers of our subsidiary company. A couple of subsidiaries number which we generally share with the investor and our analyst is about performance of our subsidiary Evox. So Evox numbers stood at 69 million in this quarter, with a EBITDA of 18 million and PAT of about 8 million, as compared to 62 million of top line and negative EBITDA of 10 million and PAT of 21 million negative in last year Q1. So overall, Evoxx has given a very positive numbers this quarter as compared to Q4 also and as compared to Q1 of last year. The JC Biotech revenue stood at 146 million with an EBITDA of 19 million and PAT of 7 million as compared to about 123 million of top line, EBITDA of 31 million and 14 million was the PAT during first quarter of last year. And again here we could see that the EBITDA is lower because of higher RM raw material and higher power and fuel cost and also the higher tariff of electricity by the state government. The SciTech sales stood 66 million as compared to 135 million of last year and PAT is negative this quarter by 14 million as compared to 18 million of positive PAT last year first quarter. So SciTech has reported a loss during this quarter because of the lower sales in this particular quarter. The largest product, which is our anti-inflammatory enzyme, the sales stood at 279 million as compared to 245 million last year, first quarter. So we could see that in this particular, enzyme, we have a higher sales as compared to Q1 of last year and as compared to last quarter also. From 245, it was 247 to 279 million this quarter. Our top 10 customer contributed about 28% in this quarter as compared to 29% in Q4 of last year and 28% in FY22. Our B2C segment has contributed a sale of about in USD 1 million as compared to 1.14 million during the same period last year. Our R&D expenditure is up from 53 million to 70 million. So overall, the R&D expenditure is about 70 million in the quarter one as compared to 53 million, which was about 4.4% last year, and this year it is about 5.10%. So overall, this is from my side, and now we shall open the floor for question and answer.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may enter star and one. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Vaibhav Bhattacharya from Honesty and Integrity Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Thanks for providing the opportunity. So if I look at the full year FY21 numbers versus FY22 numbers, in other expenses, apart from, power and fuel and travel cost, which is obviously going up, there's a huge jump in sales promotion and legal charges. So if you can just explain what has happened in FY22, which is seeing this increase, and I think it has been continuing this quarter as well. So if you can highlight why the sales promotion and legal charges are going up substantially.
So FY21, it was kind of a year when we have seen unprecedented lockdown throughout the globe. So sales promotion expenses were low. But then FY22, we have exhibited in many shows. And because of that, sales promotion and exhibition expenses, everything has gone up.
So about the second part which is happening in sales promotion is travel cost has gone up exponentially, as probably you are aware of. So, everything in the travel related expenses are going up, and after two long years, this is the time to meet all the customers again, 2-3 years, which was lost, contact loss. So there is going to be a sales and promotion expenses have gone up, and they will continue to go up for a time being.
Right. Yeah. And what about legal and professional charges, which has gone up from 11.5 to 15.5 crore in FY22?
So legal and professional, when we call it, comprises of the consulting charges, and of course that includes some kind of outsourcing of some of the technical services and some kind of studies which we get from outside. So those expenses are part of legal and professional expenses. So that has gone up because you spend more on number one on technical studies and research and development, and apart from that also couple of legal advices and legal wherever matters are there where we need to really get the expert's opinion or we need to hire the experts. So those are the reasons of increase in the legal and professional expenses.
Okay.
Legal expenses will trim down as we move on into this year. They will be lower. This quarter it was on a higher side.
Okay. And so secondly, if you can just comment on competition, in which products we are facing competition from advanced vital enzymes. If you can just broadly comment on that, that would be helpful.
There is no area where we are really directly competing with advanced vital enzymes.
Okay, that's it from my side. I will come back in the question queue.
Thank you.
Participants, if you have any questions, please enter star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask any questions, please enter star and one. We have a follow-up question from Vaibhav Bachchatia from Honesty and Integrity Investment. Please go ahead.
Thanks for providing the follow-up. I just wanted to give time to others, so that's why I kind of stopped earlier. In terms of margins, we have seen even gross margins contracting as compared to FY21, as it has contracted in FY22, and it is continuing. So, is it because of the absolute fall in the realization in some of the of our products, or is it because the RM cost, raw material cost, has increased and we have not been able to pass it through?
It's both. RM cost is RM cost is up, and it is going to be a slow process to pass on. It's a tough competitive market.
But in terms of contraction in you said that it's both in terms of realization contraction and increase in RM cost. So in which areas the realizations are reducing, in which segments or in which product areas the realizations are reducing in absolute terms?
Overall, you see that nutritional market, people have plenty of inventories. There is a overall cost going up for them, so they are constantly looking at reducing their cost in other areas, and that comes into the ingredients or supply side of the raw material. So there is a lot of pressure on keeping the cost or cutting the cost while the expenses are going up. Now, there is going to be readjustment in the market for next couple of quarters, okay? There will be a pass-on cost will happen, but again, because the supplies were coming from, in US market at least, I don't know much about Indian market, but a lot of material was coming from China, and Chinese impact is tremendous. The supplies are short supply. The shipment cost is ridiculously high, and overall, just to maintain the customers and customer relations and supply chain, we ended up supplying it at any given, because these guys are paying too much money for the packaging, filling, all of the other areas. Everybody is looking to see how they can reduce their cost or reduce their inventories.
Got it. Understand. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you, Vaibhav.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask any questions, please enter star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please enter star and one. We have a question from the line of Ketan Chheda, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. My question is, in terms of we've been facing revenue pressure for some time. Our growth has reduced in the last couple of years. What are we doing to increase the growth? What are the areas that we are targeting? I know there's a lot of information in the investor presentation, but I'd like to hear, when do we start seeing growth in our revenues from here on?
Ketan, good question. And some of the areas which were out of our control, in the couple of things which are happening in the global scene. I hope that they are now, hopefully settled shortly, if not completely. But that being the factor, and global scene, don't know what happens with another crisis, or may not be a crisis in future. But considering they are out of our hand, I believe that we should be, in a couple of quarters, we should be able to see the sustainable growth.
Okay. So are we seeing uptick in the demand going forward? Because from Q1 it didn't seem so, but are we seeing an uptick in the demand?
We are, as you know, we are in a three different segment, right? And we see some great opportunities also, and growth prospect in other markets.
Okay. And one last question is, if you could throw some more light on the work that we are doing with some pharmaceutical companies in the area of APIs. I know there is some trials probably or some work that we are doing to get our products approved with them. If you could throw some light on that area, that what's the status and what is our outlook? When do we expect to get some revenues in these areas? That would be great. Thank you so much.
We are progressing well, Weber. The API market is like developing the completion of the R&D and pilots, and then moving into the new molecule. There is an enormous opportunity we see as we go forward, and we are very, I will not say satisfied, but we are very, very pleased with the progress which is happening in that.
So, is it possible that...
Sorry to cut you. But there is a great deal of opportunities, and we are the leading suppliers in this marketplace.
Okay. So I just want to ask one follow-up question on that. So can we expect to get increased orders in the remaining 9 months of this year from this specific segment?
It will start gradually. But we expect some more products to be commercialized this year.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask any questions, please enter star and one. The next question is from the line of Gagan Thareja from ASK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. I hope I'm audible.
Yes, sir.
Sir, if I look at your segmental sales, specialized manufacturing has had a sharp drop this quarter. And if I look at it from a geographical composition, Europe and others have had a severe drop. So if you could help us understand, you know, both segmentally and geographically, what happened?
Your question is in geographically, which segment you said?
Geographically, Europe and others are down very sharply. Europe is down 36.5%, and what you classify as others is down to virtually 0.7 crores from 6.9 crores.
Gagan, like this Europe business, these orders are not all the time like divided into the quarter wise. Sometimes it's on a higher side, sometimes it's on a lower side. That doesn't mean that this is happening as far as the geographical is considered. As far as the specialty business of SciTech, what is happening out there is again the inventories. There were like a lot of sales of effervescent tablets for the COVID related products which they were making. For example, vitamin C and paracetamol and other things. But right now, they are struggling with a lot of inventories at the customer ends. So a lot of orders are on hold. So I think this is again an inventory-related phenomena. And probably this is a quarter where we really saw the real drop into the SciTech sales.
Okay. I mean, if I again look at your sales, you know, from a longer term horizon, even past 3 years, your sales CAGR would have been, you know, 8%. In a normalized world where, you know, these sort of transitory issues, which have had a deep impact in the shorter run, you know, if one assumes that they come back to normal. In such a scenario, you know, what is the sales growth potential for the company? We understand that in the current scenario, you're getting impacted by extraneous factors. But in a normalized scenario, what is the baseline growth, you know, which your business with its pipeline of new products and existing products and customers is capable of?
Well, thank you for clarifying that. Like as you said, in last couple of years, very abnormal years. So if we can keep that aside, and as I said in the beginning, if we don't have any other further disruptions globally which are not under our control, we are targeting to be growing 15 to 20% a year.
Okay. And if you could, you know, I appreciate that, you know, you've given us that number at least, you know, which helps us understand where you're headed. But if you could also, you know, elaborate a little more and give us some idea, you know, on the roadmap and how you expect to achieve that. What goes into being able to reach that aspiration?
Glad to hear that. See, there are there are three segments which we have clarified to you, right? One is bioprocessing, and there were questions on that, and we already clarified that growth we see is very sustainable and continue, because everybody is trying to find the alternatives. API growth will be there in India. Everybody is trying to get away from China supplies, and there is a great deal of prospect to grow substantially beyond 15-20%. The second market segment which we are in, the food processing area, and we see several products approvals. It takes time to get approval and yearly contracts. So we are doing extremely well on that particular front, on Q, R&D, etc. And we see substantial growth in that segment also. Third one is animal feed area, where we are seeing we have placed a lot of various different key things in the global marketplace. We have signed an agreement with the Sumitomo Chemicals, Japan, Japanese subsidiary in USA as an exclusive marketing sales company. And similarly, several other areas are moving forward on that particular front, and you will see a substantial growth. Human nutrition, we are also looking at B2C market growing considerably than the current place. And as far as B2B market, we think it will continue to grow also after the initial inventory hurdles, because the U.S. is still strongly growing. And there is inflation process, is still on, but we feel that we have a excellent chance of growing. There will be pressure on margins, I can tell you that.
Okay. So again, as we sort of passed through on the sales aspects, likewise on margins, again, in a normalized world, with your prospects in fermentation APIs, in food processing and so on, would the margin trajectory be still lower than what it was in the past? It's been dropping over the last 2-3 years, but then again, there's a lot of contribution to that drop from issues which are not of a permanent nature. There might be others which are of a permanent nature. So hence my attempt to understand, in a normalized world, what should be sustainable margin trajectory for this business?
Well, we are going to keep our margins, at least try to keep our margins above 40%. Those are our areas. Okay. We are very mindful. At the same time, we are very very aggressive in future investment and increasing our R&D expenditures will grow up considerably. It is a research-driven company, and we are putting a lot of things into the future growth. So a lot of investment will be there on that particular area. We are also developing and spending more into expanding the market segments. So there will be a pressure initially when you're trying to develop the market. We got to spend a lot of money on the sales and promotions, which you will see quite a lot, and also human development. So these are some of the things, challenges management always face when they are growing and before the growth. So they are also part of our story, our company story.
Right. So what should be a reasonable timeline to expect, over which you can you know, these efforts that you're putting in start bearing fruit? Is it going to be 1 year? Is it going to be 2 years before, you know, the consequences of these efforts start showing up? How should we think about that?
Some of the efforts you will see quite soon, you know. So exactly all the efforts will come, everything will pay off. I hope I can get some crystal ball, but what we see is very, very positive trend. Okay.
So to answer that, I can say that some of the effect will start after 1 or 2 quarters.
Okay. So in a couple of quarters, some of your efforts will show up in top line growth.
In the numbers, yeah. But you will also at the same time, you see how the cost, we are going to spend a lot of money into various different areas, I just said.
Yeah. So, I mean, when you say, you know, sales and promotion and R&D are going to remain elevated, as a percentage of sales, you pointed out that R&D cost is at 5.1% for the quarter. Is it going to remain in this trajectory all through the year, or is it going to rise still further from 5.1%?
I think it will rise, and our idea is somewhere around 8%.
Okay. So you're saying that over the quarters in this year, as you move from the first quarter down to the fourth quarter, and as you exit out of the year, we should be expecting 8% R&D to sales.
Not really. Not 7 to 8% is like a longer term goal. But this year it will be in the similar range, maybe 5 to 7, in between 5 to 7%.
Okay. Okay, but
it's that a gradual
means, you know,
thing. It's a gradual thing. It doesn't happen like it's going to jump instantaneously, because we got to be budgetary constrained and a lot of other things comes in R&D.
So I get your point, sir. I understand that over a period of time you want to increase R&D to sales by almost 3 percentage points. It is understandable that that is required for the business to grow. Should it then not mean that a baseline margin trajectory, would probably be lower than 40%, unless, of course, you know, that R&D starts to give you return on investment in a short time frame?
Benny?
Yeah, well, there will be, you know, some kind of a pressure, of course, as you mentioned, because, you know, when you spend more on R&D from 5 to 3%, the 3% has to come, you know, through your incremental revenues. But the good part of our business is, you know, once we cross the threshold, and after that, you know, most of the time we have seen our margins are really, you know, pretty decent. So we should be in a position to maintain our, like, you know, the EBITDA margin, which we have been talking about, of say 40% or so. But yes, on quarter to quarter, suppose my R&D in a particular quarter is 8%, probably, you know, the EBITDA margin could be 37%. So overall, if we really look at it, it will be in the same range, you know.
Right. I get that, sir. But when we are talking of this margin, at what juncture or what time frame, you know, do we get to that margin? Because currently we are...
So I will explain you what happens is, you are right, absolutely. I mean, you know, everyone wants to have a good margin. Of course, we are also working for that. The sales mix of, you know, our sometime, you know, that also creates this kind of a situation, you know. For a quarter, some of the product sale is, you know, higher, so you get a better EBITDA margin. So that's what I am saying. Overall, when you look at the entire year, I mean, you know, it gives you a fair idea, yes, in what range we are going to be.
But then are you saying that in spite of what we've seen in the first quarter this year, which could have had an adverse sales mix, if we think of the full year FY23, we can get close to that number of 40% for the full year?
So, I mean, you know, we have another 9 months to go. So, we are like, you know, that's what is like, you know, of course, we will try to see that, you know, we go close to at least, you know, the margin which we have last year at least.
So, are you saying that the when you exit, the exit margin will be 40%, or are you saying that the aggregate for the full year could come close to 40%? I just want to ensure that I'm not, you know, interpreting you wrong.
So, yeah, I'm saying that the aggregate EBITDA margin could be
for the full year
close to the last year, FY22. So, that will be somewhere, you know, at the end of the year, FY23.
Okay, so you're saying you'll reach FY22 margins in Q4, but for the full year, margins FY23 will be substantially lower than FY22?
So that is what is one quarter which we are discussing. So we have three more quarters. So let's see, and average, you know, we should be able to reach to that margin.
Well, actually, you will see that there will be an improvement definitely then.
Yeah.
Okay, that's heartening to know. Also, sir, you know, there's a pretty substantial fuel ethanol blending program mandate by the Indian government. And I presume, you know, it's an enzymatic hydrolysis process which goes into fuel blending also. Do you supply enzymes for those processes, or do you foresee that as a reasonable opportunity to pursue?
Well, we tried with a couple of big refineries. Some of the product has gone.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, this is not our active area. We are an approved supplier. We are waiting for the next move as the feedback and other things will come.
Okay. And from a working capital standpoint, you know, not necessarily only Advanced Enzymes, but everybody, because they are building up inventories due to the supply chain issues, you know, or receivables are lengthening. It's been a common feature across most companies. How should we think of working capital for you, both, you know, in the shorter time frame for the year, and, you know, in maybe a longer time frame of 3 to 5 years?
So maybe it will be in the range of 110 days to 120 days. That is a kind of a working capital cycle for us.
Okay. This is sustainable both in the shorter and the longer time frame, is what it is. Right, sir. Thanks for taking my questions. I'll get back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. You covered almost many of them.
Thank you. The next question is a follow-up from Vaibhav Parjatia from Honesty and Integrity Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks a lot. So I guess it's Saturday. That's why I'm fortunate. I have to get too many follow-ups. In terms of, you know, I understand that we are facing all this cost pressure, but in last to last phone call, you know, we asked management as to why they are not able to pass on the cost in terms of higher prices. And it was mentioned that this is because of increased competitive intensity. So just wanted to understand which are these players who have entered into the market and creating competition for us. Wanted to understand.
It's a high margin area now. Everybody is trying to enter into it. So you will see that there are a lot of major players also is going to jump into it, into international market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but yeah, it's understandable that, but I think given the nature of business, you know, enzyme development process itself is quite long. Sudden increase in competition is unexpected. So that's why I just wanted to understand.
It's not a competition. What happens, like, if you try to increase the prices, all the people want to reduce their prices. because they do have an impact on the other side. So they will go to the whoever 2-3 suppliers are there. They will try to work on the on this, and then you may lose the business because it's a competitive world, right? So, and the ingredient is the area where you can see that they can cut down the cost. They cannot cut down the cost on traveling. They cannot cut down the cost on the packaging. So this is the area where everyone wants to cut down the cost.
Understood. Got it. And lastly, on the cash that we have, you know, so we continue to build on cash, and so and understand that there will be some investments that we will do, but even accounting for that investments, we'll continue to have very good amount of cash generation, given the profitability is reasonably good even at this declined level. What are your thoughts on capital allocation in terms of distributing the dividend to the shareholders, or in any other way moving that cash out of the company in any form?
Two answers for you. One is we are already increasing the dividends this year by 10-11% than compared to last year. So our company is constantly increasing the dividend year after year. The second is obviously deploying the cost. When the capital cost is going up globally, we see the chances of possible targets for us may increase quite a bit. Okay, so we see that that is an opportunity for the companies like us who are who have no issues of the capital.
Okay. Okay, got it. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question from the line of Gagan Thareja from ASK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking the follow-up question. I said two questions. One, the other operating expenses are up quite sharply for the quarter. In the beginning, you did give some sort of explanation there. But if you could, sort of break that that specific cost head down and give us some more or a little more elaborate understanding of how much has come from the legal and professional, and how much has come from increased sales and promotion, and also is this quarterly rate of 35 crores under that cost head a sustainable feature for the year?
Vinny?
Yeah. Your question is about the increase in expenses.
Yes.
Right, and that is with regard to other expenses, right? So if I look at other expenses of Q1 of this year as compared to Q4 of last year, so the expenses is up by only 11 million.
Right.
Yeah, but so it's not substantial in the sense.
No, sir, but then year on,
there
are two things. Correct. Q on Q, your sales is down 8%, but still your other expenses are up. And if you look at it year on year, your sales are down 12%, but your other expenses are up almost 40%.
So that's what I'm saying. The other expenses generally, I mentioned earlier, kind of fixed expenses, where you can't do much on it. So that's the reason, the sale has nothing to do with assets with all these other expenses.
There is another one area, like for example, power and fuel. So if you look into the AP where our JC Biotech plant is there was no power supply for some of the months, like 50% power supply, and then you had to run on the generator, right? So if you really look at it, 67, I think somewhere around 80 million is increased because of that.
So now I'm giving you the perspective of Q on Q, year on year. So last year, The other expenses was about 249 million. Yes. This year it is 349 million. So here you can see that there is an increase of 100 million. So I'll give you some kind of a breakup here. Our professional, legal and professional expenses are up by 22 million. Power and fuel expenses are up by 20 million. And taxes are up by about 7 million. Lab expenses is up by 5 million. And 10 million is roughly, you know, increase in our sales, promotions and travel expenses as compared to the Q1 of last year. So that's how, you know, overall the increase in expenses. And in addition to that, it also includes some mark-to-market, you know, valuation. So that has also happened. And because of that, we have some kind of, you know, 33 million of, like, you know, losses in that sense when you do the mark-to-market valuation. So this is an exceptional item in that sense in this particular quarter. So this is not kind of, you know, fixed expenses.
33 million is mark-to-market, which is and then there's another 18 million, which is because of the power shortages, which in AP, which have now been normalized, right?
8 million, sorry, not 80.
So total is about 20 million. 80 lakhs, he is saying 8 million for one particular company, which is our subsidiary, JC Biotech. Okay. But in addition to that, 12 million is increase in case of Advanced Enzyme standalone numbers also. So all put together is 20 million increase in power and fuel. And legal and professional, I've already explained, 22 million. Mm-hmm. Then there is an increase of 7 million in taxes, rate and taxes. Mm-hmm. Then lab expenses, travel and sales promotion expenses. I think that's what I have given you the breakup of it.
Right. So we could say that, you know, that 33 million and 8 million, so around 41 million odd is not necessarily a sustainable sort of a increase. And one could adjust that out to arrive at what is a more normalized number.
Right.
Right. And again, if I look at the trend of other expenses across quarters, first quarter tends to be the lowest and then it sort of peaks into the fourth quarter, although the sales might not, you know, go in that same line. So, for example, FY20 sales across quarters.
That happens mainly because of CSR expenses. You know, generally what happens, the entire CSR expenses that is spent in the last, you know, that was because of that. You know, you might have noticed last year that, you know, other expenses are up in last quarter.
It's been the case right through the last 3 years. So I'm saying that, is that also a trend that will continue? So for example, if I knock out 4 crores from 35 crores, so my normalized other expenses is 31 crores, but then it will keep on rising Q2, Q3 and Q4. Is that a correct inference?
Yeah, to some extent, yes.
Okay. All right. Right. I get that, sir. Yeah. And on tax rates, how should we think of tax rates? Because I think your tax rates are, while they are stable, they are on the, they're not in the 25 or 26% bracket.
It is 25 to 26% effective tax rate.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir. I'll get back in the queue. And if there are more questions, I'll trouble you again.
Thank you.
That was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ronak Saha for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone, for taking your valuable time for attending our earnings call. We will keep you posted for any further updates. I request you all to kindly send in your questions that may remain unanswered. An audio recording and the transcript of this call will be uploaded on our website in due course. Looking forward to host you all in the next quarter. Till then, stay healthy, stay safe. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Advanced Enzyme Technologies Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.